Kristen, you and I came to the studio this morning armed with a list of guilty pleasures.
I love those.
Because listeners have been asking us to name our favorite guilty pleasures. And I had some good ones.
I had some good ones.
Did you?
Yeah. Should I play my cards?
No. You were going to show me yours. I was going to show you mine. It was going to be one of those days. And I think we were both very excited for it. But something more interesting seems to have happened this week, and that kind of came out of nowhere. There's this very small film called October Baby. It's been playing in a few theaters around the country. Last week, it made a fair amount of money, $2.8 million, not a lot by James Cameron's Titanic standards or almost any Hollywood standard. But for this movie, it made a profit. And now it's going to be opening on 500 screens nationwide, which is a remarkably large number for a small Christian-based film.
And this movie was made for under $1 million, right?
It's a micro-budget movie about abortion with what people I think are saying, and I think the filmmakers would agree, a pretty stridently anti-abortion message. It's a fictional film inspired by a real-life story, but a fictional film about a woman who finds out that she is an abortion survivor, that she's got medical problems now that are a result of an attempted abortion when she was in the womb.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, whoa. Heavy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But this seems like an interesting subject, and it touches on something that I wanted to talk about, which is propaganda in the movies and how you keep your viewpoints out of entertainment, whether you should, and what happens when you don't.
Oh, this is a great idea, Rafer.
Well, thank you.
Let's get into that, but before we do that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer. First, why don't you explain a little bit more about this October Baby movie?
The filmmakers have said that it's not necessary, that they were more interested in simply the kind of the story itself, and not so interested in scoring any political points. That may or may not be true, but the film has definitely resonated, apparently, with a fundamentalist Christian conservative niche. Again, $2.8 million would not pay for an extra on most, quite literally, I'm not sure that how many lunches would that even pay for on a Hollywood film? $2.8 million, that's nothing. But considering the film cost far less than that and it has turned a profit, and it does have the backing of Sony Films.
It's
through a subsidiary, I guess you'd call it.
Provident Films.
Provident Films, yeah. Right. So it does have that going for it.
And they've been doing a lot to promote this in kind of grassroots ways, joining Bible study groups, handing things out at different church functions and so on to get folks on board. And it's really being embraced.
Yes. And it's a common tactic. I'm not sure what film, sort of launched that, but it goes back to something like I think these are also two other Sony films, Fireproof, Courageous, things like Dolphin Tale. I'm sure there's quite a few of them. I'm going to forget them all, but it's a common marketing strategy. You put these films in churches, essentially churches and town halls, and screen them there and get that audience on board. No different than I suppose screening a teen film in a college town. Same basic idea. And then, you hope that these films get sort of a groundswell of support, and then you see how far you can push it out into the market. So, and again, a wide release in movie terms usually means somewhere in the range of 2,000 theaters. A movie like, I don't even know, Hunger Games is going to open on close to 4,000 probably screens. This is opening on 500, but 500 is still a sizable number.
That's a pretty good number.
Yeah,
you think about it, under $1 million this was made for.
Right.
And I have to point out, even though it's an indie and it's small, it has some recognizable names in it. John Schneider, if you've ever seen Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes.
It also has Jasmine Guy from A Different World.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so there are actually names in this movie.
Right.
And a lot of these movies that are considered propaganda films have names that we recognize them. Not a lot, but maybe one or two big names to bring in the crowds.
Right.
But something I find more interesting are the movies that you were mentioning to me earlier, Rafer, that have these big names in them that are Hollywood movies that we might not even think of as propaganda films but are embraced by certain groups, like The Blind Side.
The Blind Side, which I think was also screened in churches and stuff before. You know, I think that movie also was pitched to faith-based communities around the country before it got the wide mainstream marketing push.
And you know, I don't.
What? What, Kristen?
I don't always understand which films end up being embraced and for what reasons. The Blind Side, do they mention Christianity in that movie?
No, although I think, this is a theory, I think that that is one of the reasons that the film did as well as it did. I do think that when you get a very, very explicitly Christian film, you know, if you're really talking about crosses and Bibles, you know, and verse, chapter and verse, it does turn people off. I think it does turn off your, you know, I don't know what to call them, your swing voter types, whoever those undecideds are out there, right? But you know, that broad, wide middle swath of America, I think it's a little turned off by that. But I think what they do embrace are sort of more general messages of kindness, humanism, charity, optimism, hope, things that have a Judeo-Christian feeling but aren't sort of denominational. Do you know what I'm saying? That's why I think a movie like, well, of course, Secretariat. Do you remember Secretariat? I think that actually opened with a biblical quote.
I think it does, too. That's the racing horse, the Diane Lane movie.
Yes, Horse as Christ, that movie, right? Secretariat really does become like the Messiah, you know, trumpets blowing when he's racing along the track and winning.
There's a whole lot of that.
But there is.
You once gave me a crib sheet, Rafer, which I thought was hilarious. And your crib sheet was, here are some signs that you're watching a faith-based movie or a movie that's being funded by faith communities or being promoted by faith communities. And the crib sheet, the first thing on the crib sheet was mention of homeschooling awesome.
Yes, mention homeschooling. Yeah, somewhere, Dolphin Tale, that's in there. Soul Surfer, that's in there. Again, because homeschooling is very popular with that crowd. And you do get these kind of coded messages in these films. I guess one of my questions is, though, you know, just to sort of get a little Descartes and strip away all of my beliefs and try to start from scratch, you know, here I am, you know, I'll define myself as a generally liberal, secular, humanist kind of person, without revealing my partisan tendencies. But I mean, you know, I see these Christian-based films and I think like, you know, oh, there's all this propaganda being shoved down my throat, blah, blah, blah. Why am I being preached to? But as you and I were saying earlier, you know, go see a movie like American Pie, not the American Reunion, which is out now, but the first American Pie, which is basically all about teenagers trying to have sex and how that is funny, cool, and okay. And I think like, well, is it funny, cool, and okay for teenagers to be having premarital sex just like all over the place in high school?
So you think that's just a bunch of liberal propaganda. People saying free love, isn't sex great, even though you're not even old enough to, buy a beer. So that's what you're saying. That's its own version of propaganda.
It is its own version of propaganda. And you do see these messages in your average Hollywood film, from an adult movie all the way down to, you know, a teen film. What is the first thing that, you know, when boy and girl meet, no matter what their age, what's the first thing they do that shows you they're in love? They hit the bedroom, right? That's when you know the deal has been sealed. They are in love. There's no marriage yet. Like, that comes later. But premarital sex in films, you know, it's to say it's common is just an understatement. You can see it from the other side. You can see it from the other side of the political fence. If you have this belief that, you know, premarital sex is wrong, a valid belief, then where do you go in the movies to find that belief upheld? There's nothing out there for you. You're going to see premarital sex everywhere you go in the movies.
I mean, I guess you have to stick with children's movies. I mean,
right.
Are children's movies that
Chimpanzee. Right. Out now in theaters.
I don't think they're married when they do that.
Okay. Good point.
But even the children's movies, I mean, I was thinking children's movies aren't, you know, full of premarital sex, but they're full of other things sometimes that folks out there think are political. Do you remember when Happy Feet first came out?
And yes.
A lot of social conservatives thought this is liberal propaganda promoting the idea that global warming is man-made.
Right.
A lot of people out there really thought it was liberal propaganda.
Right.
Same with the Lorax.
Right. Same with the Lorax. Right. Exactly.
And so it – and one other movie that I remember, Ants. Do you remember Ants?
Oh, yeah. Was there a controversy over Ants?
There was.
Some people
thought it was pinky, commie, left wing, the proletariat should rise up, workers of the world unite. Do you remember that? There was a big controversy
Like the Muppets controversy, right? When Fox News called them communists because they were trying to save their theater from the oil baron?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but I mean and another excellent point, you know, the business tycoon in the movies, you know, it's our favorite villain, right? From Tower Heist to, you know, to the Muppets to, Drew Barrymore, John Krasinski, whale movie that just came out, Big Miracle.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
Big Miracle.
Yeah. Ghastly film. So, but that movie
wasn't that bad.
Oh, Kristen. All right. I didn't hear that. So, Ted Danson plays the oil magnate in that. Right now, granted, they kind of come to an understanding at the end, and he becomes kind of a good guy. But he's the villain, right? Big Oil is the villain in that movie. Why is that acceptable? I mean, if you are a far right or even just a on the right conservative who believes in industry and, you know, private business and small government and capitalism, you know, again, everywhere you look, you, the CEO, you, the guy who makes more than, you know, $60,000 or whatever, you are the guy who is the villain. You're the bad guy. Industry and capitalism, always the bad guy in films.
So you feel bad for those oil barons out there.
I don't feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for them, but it does make you realize that even in what we would all consider to be, just your mainstream average multiplex movie, there are messages and there are, you know, what you could rightly call political messages. And so it's not surprising to me that a movie like October Baby would find its niche and perhaps, you know, 500 theaters and perhaps find a larger one.
I wouldn't be surprised if it makes a lot of money this week.
It very well could.
A lot of money. So let's end on this one. Favorite propaganda film of all time, Rafer?
Favorite propaganda film? Boy, I don't know. That's a tough one. Metropolis? Did you ever see Metropolis? That's a pinky Bolshevik movie right there.
Yeah.
But talk about workers of the world unite. But I love that movie.
It's pretty great. It's visually spectacular.
Yes.
It's a good one. And for me, I think my favorite propaganda film of all time, Showgirls.
Showgirls.
Because I gotta have faith.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.